rising up and building our relationship with God. We've looked at a number of things. Our troubles that God uses. Dealing with our hidden hurts, our hidden wounds. And today I want to talk about how God answers prayers. How do we get an answer from God? I believe there's a few attitudes that we need to take on board of our lives when it comes to getting an answer from God. I read a humorous story of a young girl who wrote a letter to a missionary. One of the church missionaries, she was going to write a letter just saying, I am praying for you. Our church is thinking of you and we care about your ministry and what you're doing. And evidently she had been told, don't request an answer or response back, because the missionary is very busy, and if everybody's wanting them to write him back, it just takes a while. So don't expect an answer back. So she writes, dear missionary, we are praying for you, but we are not expecting an answer. We're praying for you, but not expecting an answer. And I think that little girl summarizes what a lot of Christians do in their lives, and that is we do a lot of praying, but we don't really expect an answer either. Why doesn't God answer? We're going to look at that today. How does God answer? We're going to take a look at that today. But first, let's pray now, expecting God to answer, and let's ask Him to guide us, to speak to us, and to open up our hearts. Father, today I come to You, and my heart, Lord, is so pleased. My heart is so proud of this church and what You've done here. Lord, I know, though, that there is so much more You want to do. I pray, Lord, for the Christians in this place who are lethargic. They're lukewarm. Their hearts have grown cool. They still believe. They still have faith, and maybe they still go through their emotions, but their hearts have cooled off. I pray today, Lord, that You would put a fire in them, that You would touch them once again. I pray, Father, for those who are here who have never made a decision to trust in You as their Savior. They've never trusted Jesus Christ, put their faith in Him. Maybe they've been coming for some time and hearing the messages, but they've never made it personal. They've never stepped out by faith and made the decision. Father, reach out to them. And I pray that inside they will have no choice, because the conviction is so strong that they must trust You today. They can't wait. They can't put it off. Lord, stir us, and whatever happens, I pray that we will not leave here the way we came in today. We will not leave here unchanged. Continue to do a work in this place of transforming lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few attitudes when it comes to prayer and getting answers from God. We need to have these attitudes. The first attitude is this. Write this down. God answers. How does He answer? In His own time. Write that down. Mark that. Underline it. Highlight it. Why doesn't God just listen to us? He knows our needs. Doesn't He know when we're really desperate? When we're needing something right now? Yes, He knows. God knows your hearts. He hears your prayers. He hears it right away. There's no problem with God listening. But He also knows a few things that you don't know. Why? Because He's God and you're not. So He knows things that you don't know. He sees things that you don't see. He understands things that you don't understand. I remember I was 10 years old, living in Southern California, Los Angeles, with my folks. And my dad signed me up to play football, American football. And I thought that was cool. I mean, I saw them on TV and I thought, man, yeah, I'd like that. The big pads and the helmets. And I thought that was really neat. Day one, I went to practice. And they had 2 or 3 hour practice session. And it killed me. I was the most out of shape 10-year-old you saw. And it killed me. I vomited when I got home because it was so, you know, so much work. And the last thing I wanted to do was go do it again the next day. They trained every day for a 2-week period. The last thing I wanted to do was go again. And I would cry and I'd plead and I'd say, no, I don't want to go. Don't send me back to practice. You're going to kill me, Mom. Dad, you're going to kill me. And you know what they did? Well, Mom said to my dad, you know, maybe we shouldn't send him back. He doesn't want to play. Dad said, no, he's going. I think it's because they already paid some money. He's going back. But you know what? I went back, and the next day it wasn't so bad. And I grew to where I loved that more than anything else. That was my favorite sport. It was my, you know, some of the best time of my life was being on my team. I did it for 3 years. Being on that team. And it was fantastic. And if my parents heard my pleas, heard my cries, I would have missed out on something very special. So I was intent. I was desperate. I was crying out. But I realized now that my parents knew some things that I didn't know. They saw some things that I didn't see. Their parents, I was a child. They knew what's best for me. And some of you who are children now, you might hear that. We know what's best. We're your parents. And you really don't want to hear that. But it's true. It's true. Listen. Listen to the parents. They speak from some experience. But sometimes we come and we plead to God. But we have to understand that God sees things differently than we do. God knows what is best. The fact is, God often even delays answers to prayers. Delays. He doesn't answer everything immediately. I was reading recently of a guy named Zacharias in the Bible. Zacharias, not Zacchaeus, Zacharias. Who was Zacharias' wife? Somebody? Elizabeth. What child did they have? John the Baptist, the forerunner to Christ, the one who was sent on a special mission to prepare the way for Christ. But Zacharias was an amazing guy. You see, he and his wife were very old. And Zacharias goes to the temple, the Bible tells us. He goes to the temple in Luke chapter 1. And he's doing his priestly duties there. And while there, this angel comes to him. An angel. And the angel says, God has sent me here. I'm Gabriel. And I'm here to tell you that your prayer has been answered. You're going to have a child. So imagine this. In the temple, angel pops before you. Says Gabriel, no less, and tells you God has heard your prayers. What would your response be? You know, amazement, jaw-dropping, thank you. Zechariah's response in verse 18 is, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. I'm an old man, my wife is well along. He was a nice husband, wasn't he? He says, I'm old, but my wife is just well along. Guys, take note. The ultimate skeptic. Why didn't he believe this? I mean, as you read the passage casually, you think Zacharias went to the temple to pray and an angel came and said, God heard your prayer. Oh, thank you. But the fact of the matter is, Zacharias forgot this prayer a long time ago. He started praying this when they were much younger. He started praying for a child. Elizabeth was barren. And so this was an old prayer that he had given up on. And the angel came and said, your prayer has been answered. Zechariah says, what prayer? What do you mean, a child? I'm an old guy. My wife, she's not old, but well along now in years. But the fact is, God often delays. Let God answer in His own time. In verse 13, the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer has been heard." Past tense. That prayer that you prayed so many years ago, it's been heard. But God delayed. God delayed. God hears and answers your prayers immediately, but sometimes there's a delay in the answering of the prayer, in the giving of it. He hears it immediately. There's not a problem with God's hearing, communication. It gets there instantly. But as a parent, I know that one of the hardest things for my kids to understand is the difference between no and not yet. You who are parents know what I mean. A child comes and asks something, and you say, no, not yet. Not yet. Or maybe, you know, later or tomorrow. And every 5 minutes they come and ask the same thing. Not yet. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't know that you're not saying no, but they don't understand not yet. The mark of a maturity in a Christian is, how long can you wait? That's maturity in life. Can you wait? Can you be patient? A child wants things and they want it now. If a child asks and they don't receive it now, they don't understand. You just have to wait a little while. We have to teach children that. We have to teach them the value of waiting, of saving, or whatever it may be. Perhaps, you know, you've tried prayer, you say. I prayed for 2 weeks and nothing happened, so I've given up on prayer. I've lost my faith. Most likely you haven't lost faith, you just lost patience. You lost patience. You don't have a lot of patience. Why does God delay? Couple of suggestions. One is to get us ready. God hears your prayers, but maybe it's to get us ready to receive an answer, to receive what we have prayed for. I still crack up because my son Charlton, he's 7 years old, and he really wants to drive the car now. He's, you know, he sits in the front with Dad and he's asking me, how do you shift now? And you know, what are the 3 pedals for or 2 pedals? And he's trying to figure all this out in his mind. And he says, how many more years until I can drive, Dad? You know, he's 7, so it's at least over 2 times his age now. So he's got a long way to go. He wants to drive. Now, as a loving parent, I should say, well, son, sure you can drive. Here, let's try it right now, right? No. Am I saying, no, son, you can never drive? No way. I'm not saying that. I am saying, though, not yet. Not yet. Why? Well, one of the reasons is I want to get him ready. Okay? And it's going to take a few more years than 7 years. I want to get him ready. I want to teach him, train him, make him responsible, just have him grow up. So God wants to get us ready. Another reason is He wants to change you first. He wants to change. He's more concerned about you, your attitude and your character. So instead of us praying all the time, God, I'm in a bad situation. Will you please change this situation? Sometimes our prayer needs to be, God, I'm in a bad situation. Will you use this to change me and to do what you want to do in me? You see a different emphasis? I'm convinced that when we pray and we believe God hasn't answered our prayers, so much of the time it's not that as much as we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know the right things to pray for. We don't understand prayer. We don't understand God. God, change me in this situation. So keep on praying until one of 3 things happens. On your notes here, write this down. One of 3 things happens. Number one, you get an answer. You get an answer. Obvious. You know, that's an easy one. When you get the answer, you can stop praying about it. Number two, you get assurance that you're going to get it. that you're going to get that prayer answered. In Mark 11, 24, it says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Have faith. Have faith, assurance. So keep on praying until you get an answer or you get assurance. Maybe it's not yet. The mark of maturity is patience. I can wait. I'm going to continue. I'm going to have faith in God. He knows. He understands. But number three is this. Keep on praying until God reveals to you that it's not His will. It's not His will. Our prayer is to always be, not my will, but yours be done, God. That's always our prayer still. Does it seem to you like number two and three are in conflict? You must pray and believe it. Believe it in advance and it will be yours. But then on the other hand, we say, believe it or pray until God shows you, no, it's not my will. Is that a conflict in your mind? Our prayers must always be, your will be done. Not only that, but we're warned in the book of James chapter 4, when you ask, you do not receive. So God doesn't answer every prayer in the positive. We know it's sometimes a negative. No. Why? Because He's our parent. He's not our genie. He's not our servant. He's not our maid or butler. He's God. It says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Do I hear amen anywhere? I think a lot of us pray in this manner too much of the time. That is often our prayer. I mean, I'm not talking about God, you know, I need a new Ferrari, please. You know, that's a consuming upon your own pleasures, yes. And don't expect a new Ferrari in your driveway the next day for praying that. But oftentimes we pray in the same manner in different ways. We're in the middle of trouble. God, I need you to get me out of this trouble. It doesn't matter that I got myself into this and there's a lot of things I need to learn. I just need you to bail me out. And we're asking to consume it upon our own lust, our own desires. And we're not understanding how it is that we ought to pray. In the midst of troubles, our prayer needs to be, God, teach me what you have to teach me. Use this trouble to give me wisdom, to grow me, to mature me, to build my character. Show me what it is that you want me to learn. Let God answer in His own time. The second attitude is this. Number two, in His own way. God answers in His own way. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. The reason God often delays an answer, is so that He can answer your prayer, perhaps in a bigger way than you even thought to begin with. What would have happened in this story of Zacharias in Luke chapter 1? If Zacharias and Elizabeth's request for a child would have been given right away, what would have happened? Well, first of all, they might have just thought, oh, it's just a coincidence. Maybe prayer worked, maybe it didn't work. Second, they would have had a lovely Jewish baby boy and have enjoyed him and raised him in a good home. But God had something more special. He delayed it. He answered in His own time, and He also answered in His own way. And they had John the Baptist. They were given something even greater. They were given John. God delayed Hannah's request in the Old Testament for many years for a child. But when He finally gave her a son, when He finally answered in His own time and in His own way, He gave her Samuel, one of the great prophets. Our problem when we pray is twofold. We ask too little and we expect it too quick. We ask too little and we want it now. But Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able, Look at this with me, okay? You see this? Say it with me. God is able. Let's try it again. Ready? God is able to do even exceedingly above what you are able to think or imagine. You understand that? God is able to do far more than you're able to think or imagine. So think about your prayers. Are you asking too little and expecting it now? God is able to do even greater than that. Sometimes, if God gave you all the requests that you asked for, it would overwhelm you. It would overwhelm you. You guys remember the story of King Midas? Remember that story? It's an old children's fable. He was granted a wish. He said everything, his wish was everything that I touched turned to gold. He got what he wanted. And it destroyed his life. Everything he touched, even people, everything he touched turned to gold. And it ruined him. There was the wealthiest man in the world in the early 20th century, John Rockefeller. He said, I would never give anybody $1 million. It would ruin them. They could not handle it. It would ruin them. God says, let me answer in my time and in my way. You're praying about a job. You want to get this job change. And all of a sudden it falls through. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. Know that God knows. And believe that He hears your prayers. And He's going to answer in His time and His way. And perhaps God has something better than what you had in mind. There's been times in my life that situations had not worked out. Job situation totally fell through the floor. And all of a sudden feelings of anxiety overwhelm me. And I, in desperation, I cry out. And shortly thereafter, I'm realizing that God had a far better plan to begin with than I thought if I got my own way. God had something far better. You have plan A. God says, don't worry about it. Here's a plan B. When in truth, His plan is plan A to begin with. Yours is plan B. You have the secondary plan. The prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? He was feeding the pigs. And he came to his senses. And he says, I'm going to go to my father's house and I'm going to, you know, tell him I've sinned and ask him to take me as a servant. At least the servants are well taken care of in my father's house. And so he went and he told his dad, I'm sorry, please take me as a servant. That was his request. What did the father give him? He received him with open arms. And he threw the biggest party that he'd ever thrown. And he wrapped his arms around him. And he received him as a son and restored that fellowship that they once had. God often has a better plan than you have. Are you praying for too little and you want it right now? Let God answer in His own way. The third thing is this. God answers in His own power. His own power. Don't try to help God out. Don't ask for it. And then you go out and you just do everything on your own. Let God answer in His own power. That's called a miracle. When it comes to Zacharias and Elizabeth, the fact is this. God waited until the situation was humanly impossible. They were both old and beyond normal childbearing years. It was humanly impossible. And then He answered the prayer. Why? Because when God answers an impossible situation, who gets all the credit? God does. Who gets all the glory? God does. Same thing happened to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had been promised a child. And it wasn't until Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 90 years old before God gave them that promise. Humanly impossible. And so there was no mistaking who was in control of this one when they got their prayer answered. There was no saying, well, Abraham, you know, it was all this stuff that you read, and you really, we know what we're doing. Story of Mary and Martha. They were sisters. They had a brother named Lazarus. They came to Jesus, and in desperation, they said, our brother Lazarus is dying. Jesus, will you come and see him? Will you come and heal him? And what did Jesus do? The Bible says that he waited two more days where he was before going to Lazarus. 2 days. Sure enough, Lazarus had died. Jesus went there. It was not a problem for him. John 11:4, Jesus said, no, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Who's to receive the glory? God. Jesus. The point is, Jesus waited again till it was humanly impossible before he answered the prayer, before he bailed Lazarus out, before he gave Abraham and Sarah their son, before he gave Zacharias and Elizabeth their request. I remember well when Jen and I made the decision to come to New Zealand. We had been here for a few years, and we returned to the States in 97. But in 99, God had been speaking to my heart about returning here, returning to IBC. And I knew there were some things that had to be sorted out that only God can do. And I asked God, I prayed to God for three particular things that I knew would be a miracle from God. Number one, I prayed, said, God, if this is in your will, number one, restore to complete fellowship my relationship with my dad. I wanted a close fellowship. I didn't want anything between us, nothing hidden, nothing. Restore that. Number two, God, I want Jennifer, my wife, to be enthusiastic about it as well. Not just accepting, but I wanted her to be enthusiastic. I didn't want a situation of, wife, God's called me to go, and you're coming with me. Ugh. I'm the man, you woman. You do what I say. I wanted an enthusiastic response. God, this is something only you can do. My wife was perfectly happy in Texas, sitting in the heat, sweating. I don't know why she was happy. Number three, God, I want the church to enthusiastically respond to want us, to bring us. This was something I knew only in God's power could be done. Praise the Lord. Number four, God answers for His own reasons. Why does God answer prayer? First, for our growth, for our gain, for our blessing, but second, for His glory. His glory. Why did God answer Elizabeth and Zechariah's prayer for a child, for a son? Because He needed John the Baptist. He had a purpose for that little boy. He knew that Elizabeth and Zacharias would raise him well. Remember the story of Joseph in the Bible. God said to Joseph in a dream, you're going to be a ruler one day. You're going to be a ruler of a great country. And what happened after that? He was immediately sold as a slave by his brothers. So he goes as a slave into his master's home. His master's wife tries to seduce him. He would not give in. And so the wife had him put in jail. That's not exactly a good start. His whole career seemed to be going downhill. But God made him second in command in Egypt, in his own time, in his own way, and with his own power. Joseph had nothing to do about it. and for his own reasons. I think one of the greatest examples of what I'm trying to say is with even Paul. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul was expressing his heart, his desire, his prayer. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "To all who are in Rome, who are called by God, called to be saints." And he goes on, he's saying, "I'm praying for you." In verse 10, he says, "In my prayers at all times, you're in my prayers at all times, and I pray now that at last by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you." He's saying, "I'm praying to be able to come to you." Verse 15, "That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome." And we read on and on that Paul's desire was to be able to go to Rome. And he prayed to be able to go to Rome. Rome was the hub of the world. It was the power of the world. And he wanted to be able to go into this place and build the church and build people and share the gospel there in Rome. That was his desire, his ultimate goal. His dream was to go to Rome to preach. And Paul gets this request answered. In God's time, in God's way, with God's power, and also for God's reasons. Acts 28, verse 16. Luke says, talking about Paul, "When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him." Paul got his prayer request answered. But he wasn't free to go and preach to all the masses and to hold rallies. He says he was allowed to live at home with a guard to watch him. He was under house arrest. Not exactly Paul's picture of finally getting to Rome. Not exactly his idea and that dream that he had. He had written also, "Pray that I might have a prosperous journey." What kind of journey did Paul have? It was one marked by shipwreck. It was one in chains. In the middle of winter, he got bitten by snakes. It wasn't a cruise. It wasn't a Mediterranean dream cruise. Paul had his prayer answered. He made it to Rome. But he was willing to let God work it out in God's way, for God's reasons. God used Paul. God answers our prayers. God hears our prayers. God hears your prayers. But this morning, I want to challenge you to let God answer your prayers His way, in His time, with His power, and for His own reasons. And I want you to be aware of how it is that you pray. What are the things that you're praying for? Are you praying for things to, like James says, to consume it upon your own lust, your own selfish desires? Are you trusting God? One more thing as we close. The Bible's clear, listen to me, that He does not hear the prayers of those who are not His children. He hears the prayers of His own. When you're not in Christ, there's a barrier between you and God. That barrier is caused by what we call sin. It's sin that blocks your communication and your prayers to God. But there is a prayer that God does hear. The two guys in Acts go into the temple. They both pray. But one of them prays, "God..." The Bible says he looked up toward heaven, he beat his chest, and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Bible says, which one went away righteous? It was that man. God heard that prayer. He heard that loud and clear. And he reached down and he saved him. He forgave him. He applied the sacrifice of Jesus on him. And he said, that is my child right there. I'm covering him. I'm covering his sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's forgiven. Some of you need to make that first step. You want your prayers answered. You want God's leadership in your life. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. You want God to lead you and your family. But you need to begin by having this barrier removed. It's not a barrier that God put there. It's a barrier of sin. And only God can remove that. Only God can open the communication. And He wants to, but He's holding out His hand, and you have to be the one to take a step and receive Him. Because He doesn't force it. He doesn't force it. But listen, why are you delaying? Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? There's no better time. There's no better time. You need to receive Him today. Christian, there's times in our lives when we open the door to sin as well. Oh, you're a Christian, you're saved, but you open the door to sin and you allow it into your life. And that also becomes a stumbling block. It becomes a barrier. It breaks the fellowship. It doesn't take away salvation, but it does break that fellowship that you have with God. And you also need to be coming and saying, God, forgive me, I've sinned. Restore the fellowship. Restore that closeness, that communication. Sin is a barrier and it destroys our walk. It destroys our communication with God. This morning, let's wipe that slate clean by coming to Christ. Let Christ open that door to communication. Let Him forgive your past, forgive your sin. Whether it's a Christian who needs restoration, whether you're a non-Christian and you need to begin that fellowship with God, let's do that this morning. And God hears our prayers and He does answer. But we have to let Him do it in His time, in His way, in His power, and for His reasons. Will you stand with me? I'm going to ask you now to respond to this. And I plead with you, I urge you to not leave this place. Don't leave without doing something about what you have heard. As the singers make their way, with every head bowed and every eye closed, please, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, is there anybody in this room who would just at least acknowledge privately, just acknowledge, Pastor Ken, I haven't yet received Jesus, but I want to. I've not yet received His forgiveness, but I want to. I want to. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to grab you. I won't do that. Nobody's going to grab you, but I will just pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Pastor Ken, I've not yet been born again. I've not received that forgiveness, started that relationship. Just quietly slip your hand up. I'll see it. I'll pray for you. Is there anyone who would acknowledge that? I've not yet been born again. I don't believe I have. Anyone at all? Anyone? Is there anyone here who would be honest enough to acknowledge that they feel that their prayer life has been hindered? There's been a block there between them and God. And this morning they want the fellowship with God restored. Is there anyone who would acknowledge that by just quietly lifting your hand? I see that. Anyone else? I see that. I see that. God bless you. Anyone else? My fellowship, that my prayer, I feel like they've been blocked. And it's perhaps it's things I've allowed in my life. This morning I want God to clear that, to take that away. I see that. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Over there on the left. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else here before we...